Welcome to the Days for Girls podcast, a show about breaking barriers for women and girls around the world. I'm your host, Jessica Williams, Chief Communications Officer at Days for Girls International. At Days for Girls, we believe in a world where periods are never a problem. We are on a mission to shatter the stigma and limitations associated with menstruation by increasing access to sustainable period products and menstrual health education for all people with periods. Today's guest is Beatrice Dixon. Beatrice had been suffering with bacterial vaginosis for 8 months when one night an ancestor appeared to her in a dream and provided her with a list of ingredients to heal herself. The concoction worked, and Dixon realized that she had something special to share. From that visionary dream, the formula for a powerful and effective herb-powered vaginal wash was created. In 2014, Dixon launched the Honeypot Company, a plant-derived vaginal wellness line created with a goal of providing humans with vaginas healthy alternatives to traditional feminine care products that are free of unwanted chemicals, carcinogens, and sulfates. The rest is history. The Honeypot Company system spans the ongoing needs of the vagina from birth through menopause, producing an unparalleled complete care system. Today, the Honeypot products can be found online and in stores nationwide at Target, Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Amazon, Bed Bath & Beyond, and more. An empowering Black female entrepreneur, she has been featured on the Today Show, CNN, the New York Times, and she was named as one of Forbes' top 100 female founders and one of Inc. magazine's top 100 women entrepreneurs of 2020. Through her diverse background and experience, Beatrice Dixon continues to make a mark in the world of natural health and retail with a truly revolutionary approach to human health and sexual wellness. I really, really love this conversation today. Just a heads up, today's episode does have some adult language, so be careful with those tiny human ears and any sensitive ears that might be in the room. All right, now let's go on to the show. Beatrice, it is so good to have you here today on the Days for Girls podcast. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you are such a rock star, and I am so excited about this conversation. The first thing that I want to dive into is about your vision for the Honeypot. And if you don't mind, I would love for you to tell me more about that.
I had been dealing with a bacterial vaginosis infection for almost a year. Literally nothing that I did worked. But one morning my grandmother came to me in a dream, and we were just sitting down at a table talking. She handed me a piece of paper and it had a list of ingredients on it. And she told me that this was how I was going to solve my problem. And, and I had never really met her before because she transitioned way before I was born, before I was even thought about being born, you know, when my mother was still a child. And so, it was an interesting experience, but she quickly let me know that that wasn't why she was here. You know, like she had come to meet me to tell me what to do, right? To tell me how to fix it. And so she just had me in the dream, just keep repeating the ingredients over and over and over again, to the point to where when I woke up, I woke up out of my dream saying the ingredients. And so I wrote it down. I worked at Whole Foods at the time. So I went to work and I bought the stuff, and within the next couple of days, and then I made it, and then I started using it right away. And then everything that I was dealing with went away. It was crazy. Within like 4 to 5 days after using what I had made, what my grandmother had told me. And that's how I got started. That's how we got started with the company.
Wow. Were you surprised by that? Or did you have visions like this often, or was that your first time?
It was my first and last time that anything has been as crystal clear as that. I've had ancestors come visit me many times in my dreams. You know, sometimes I can, you know, when you have that, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, where you're laying in the bed and you can't move,
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing like that. You know, that when I was younger, that used to happen to me a lot. And you know, and so yeah, I'm here, I'm present, you know, so I'm always open to whatever needs to come, right? Because in one way or another, you know, we're in constant communication anyway, just with the way that things shake out, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's our ancestors or anything, but, you know, but life is going to happen. And in this case, my grandmother coming to visit me was life happening.
I mean, I just think that is so fascinating. So you would go out, you get the ingredients, you're working at Whole Foods. Like, had you ever started a company before? Did you decide, like, what, tell me what happens next?
Yeah, I had started a company before, but it was nothing like this. I had a cleaning business before. And I had to basically grow that up naturally. And, but what I realized is that in a cleaning business or any kind of a service-based business, especially that type, you weren't really making money unless you were cleaning somebody's house or somebody's business, or, you know what I mean? And so it just didn't feel like that was what I wanted to do with myself. You know, I felt like when I made the decision to stop doing that full time, like I just completely stopped. Cause for a while I kind of moonlighted with cleaning and working a job, and I was an artist model, and I just did all kinds of stuff because I had to make money. I had to survive. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And once I decided that I couldn't do it anymore, I said to myself, whatever I do, whatever kind of business I ever start again, I have to make money in my sleep. Like that was how I generally thought about it. And then I had an interest in skincare because I worked at Whole Foods and Whole Body. Right. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I don't know how it is now, but then, you know, it wasn't a small business. It was still a big business, but it was ran like a small business. Right. And they would have reps coming in talking about how they make their products, and, you know, and they would send us on health immersions, and they would send us to farms to learn about herbs and all this stuff. So I was really interested in potentially starting my own skincare company. So it wasn't far away from where my mind was already going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and then my coochie started acting up, and then here we are.
Well, yeah. So I mean, you know, taking that leap from like, okay, I had a vision, I got the ingredients, to mm-hmm. building a company like the Honey Pot is, I mean, that's a pretty big like gap in there. And I'm curious, like, were you just in the beginning making your products in your kitchen, or did you raise capital, or how did it work? How did that go?
We were just making in the kitchen, and I gave it away for like a year and a half, you know, and my brother, who's my co-founder, he, you know, he literally made sure I was fine, you know, gave me the money to pay for ingredients and things like that. And then, I didn't want to just put it out on the market. I had to make sure that it worked, right? Like we didn't have money to do any clinical trials or anything, right? So that was like our form of a trial, having people try it. And then once I saw that, like, pretty much everybody that tried it loved it. Pretty much every person that had what I was dealing with had a similar reaction, right? Like they had a similar, not reaction in a negative way, but they had a similar positive reaction, right? And they were saying they were experiencing the same things that I did with it just going away, you know? I mean, some girls were calling me and telling me, like, I can just use water to wash myself now. Like, I don't even have to, you know what I mean? It was things like that. And those things just kept happening. And then we went to the Bronner Brothers hair show. We took 600 bottles to that. We sold out in that weekend, which I thought was really cool. And, you know, and then that's what told us that we really had something. And I just made it in the house. We had an office space, made it there. You know, did that for a couple years. And then we got the opportunity to go into Target. And that, you know, that took about, I don't know, 6 months or something like that, or a year, 6 months to a year. Cause that's just how it works with retailers. You meet with them now, it's not going to happen till next year this time. Right. But I didn't know that then, you know? And yeah, I mean, and it just continues to flourish day by day.
That's amazing. I love that story. What a great founder story. So for those people who aren't familiar with the Honey Pot, tell them about the types of products you provide.
So the types of products that we provide are extremely beautiful, efficacious, feminine hygiene products. So we make external vulva washes. We make feminine wipes that would also be for the vulva or the bum, depending on what you're using it for. We make boric acid suppositories. We make a really beautiful vulva cream that you can use for moisture. It's not like a lubricant or anything. It's more of like a moisturizer for your vulva, because that place needs moisture too sometimes, you know? We make herbal menstrual pads. We make non-herbal menstrual pads. We just launched an incontinence line. You know, we just launched a heavy flow line. So we make a lot of really, we try to cater to humans with vaginas, to the humans with vaginas that use our products based on their circumstances. So, you know, I always like to say that everybody may not be able to use all of our products, but we absolutely make a product for every human with a vagina.
I love it. That's great. You know, I shared, you guys sent me some products, which I was so grateful for, because we were, you know, looking at a partnership, which we're going to talk more about that. But you know, I don't have any specific issues, but one of my girlfriends does. And I gave her one of your products, and she came back to me and said, "Where did you get that? That's the only thing that has solved my problem." Yeah. And I know. And so do you hear that kind of thing all the time?
Yeah, I'm grateful to say that we do, you know. And the cool thing, Jessica, is that you don't have to have issues to use our products, right? Like, you want to look at, for example, our external vulva washes as in the same light that you would look at your beautiful wash that you use on your face, right? You have a system for what you... I know I have a system for how I take care of my face, right? Mm-hmm. We have systems for how we take care of our teeth. We have systems for how we take care of our hair. We shampoo it, we condition it. As a Black woman, I moisturize it, right? Like, you know, and you may do the same thing, right? And there's different products that you use. You wouldn't use toothpaste on your hair, right? So it's the same, you want to look at it in the same light, is that we are focused on you, on your beauty routine as it relates to your vagina, right? Mm-hmm. These are basically beauty products for your vagina. And for really for your vulva mostly, because the vagina is inside the body.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Oh, well, I'm glad to know that. Now, the next time I get products from you, I'm going to go on your website and be like, "All right, I got to get my whole routine going for my vagina."
Yeah, yeah. We're working on building out some really cool stuff. So
I'm excited. Well, let's talk about your corporate social responsibility program, because I know social impact is really important to you. And I really want to dive into how you're exploring that at the Honey Pot.
Yeah. I mean, the way that we're looking at our corporate social responsibility program, I'm going to start from my point of view. I've always wanted to do it. We've always been in a position kind of where we've had to kind of pick and choose the things that we do, because we run our business very lean, right? Because we have to, and we have always had to, you know, but we're finally at a place where we can actually put product and investment into some organizations that we believe in, right? And for me personally, this is important to me because there's like real stuff happening. We have a partnership with Happy Period. You know, mostly what happens with that is we support with product, because at Happy Period, she focuses on providing products to homeless people who don't have access to feminine care, let alone clean feminine care, right? Yeah, we're working with Girls for Days with investment dollars. We're actually going to use proceeds, because we have these really cute little keychains that say we're all pink inside. We're going to be working with an organization called Alafia that basically Alafia does a lot of things, but one of the cool things that they do is they have a birthing program. Because especially in West Africa, in Togo, and some other, you know, in a few other areas between Togo, Burkina Faso, like 1 out of 15 women dies from childbirth, mostly because they don't have resources to be able to take a prenatal vitamin, right? They may not have resources to even get to a clinic, right? There's all kinds of cultural things that are there, right, within their cultural system, where, I mean, you know, some places have religious beliefs and don't believe that they should go to the doctor, right? And so what Alafia does is, which is really dope, is they go into these areas where humans are really, I mean, these are like extremely, extremely poor areas, where one five-room clinic may be serving 10,000 people, right? And they make sure that, you know, they kind of identify women that really have a need, and they provide what's kind of like an insurance program to be able to provide give them what they need. If there's medicine that they need, there's prenatals that they need, there's transportation that they need, if whatever it is that they need, Alafia basically is there to help to sponsor that. And that's just one of the programs that Alafia does. And so that's one that we're investing in. We're also investing in the Georgie Badiel Foundation, because Georgie Badiel, she actually grew up in Burkina Faso, and she was born there. And she would have to wake up every day, super early in the morning, to go and walk 5 to 6 hours to get water, right? And to get you're walking 5 to 6 hours to get water. And not only did you just have to do that walk through the desert, right? But you also had to do that walk. And when you finally get to the water, you have to wait for the animals to finish. There could be animals there. Anything can be there, mm-hmm. right? And you're drinking for your food, for your cleaning your body, for everything. This water may or may not even be clean, right? This water could have a lot going on with it, but this is the water that you have to survive. And so what Georgie Badiel does is she basically builds water wells, in Burkina Faso. And so that's one that we're super excited about, because the other thing behind that, when you think about it, it's typically the women that are walking for the amount of time that they're walking. What if these women are on their period, right? What if these women had an infection or something, right? Anything could be going wrong, and they still have to do that walk. You understand what I'm saying? And, I'm excited about these partnerships, these global partnerships, because they're not just partnerships in the States, but I'm extremely excited about them, because these are things that I'm really passionate about. You know, I'm very passionate about homelessness. I'm very passionate about young girls, especially young girls in our country that don't have access, you know, to just being able to take care of themselves. I'm very passionate about people having access to water. I'm very passionate about women who are pregnant being able to have access just to be able to take their damn prenatal vitamins, you know? So this has been kind of a long time coming, but I'm excited about it. And I'm grateful that we're here.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, I don't see why every company doesn't do what you're doing, you know, apply some of their profits to some sort of socially responsible mission that they care about. It's just a no-brainer to me. I'm so glad you're doing it.
Me too. But you know what, Jessica, you know what happens is a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, don't make me wrong. Even the investment that we're making in Girls for Days, right? Like that's a lot of money, right? But if we only had $2,000 to invest in Girls for Days, Girls for Days would appreciate that. You understand what I'm saying? So I think a lot of times companies don't realize that whatever they can pull together would be appreciated from a nonprofit organization, right? And sometimes it doesn't even necessarily have to be actual cash. Sometimes it could be resources. Sometimes it can be product. It can kind of run the gamut based on the organization. But I think a lot of times people just do not realize that they don't have to give as much as they think they do, which can make it seem a little prohibitive. Because when you think about this, you're thinking in a big scale, you know?
Yeah, that's great advice. So, yeah. You know, as you're thinking about the social impact of the honeypot, mm-hmm. I'm curious what I know I've heard you talk about equity and, how, that is important to you and the brand. And so I was curious if you could talk a little bit about that.
Look, I think that equity is absolutely important, right? Diversity is absolutely important. The thing that I'm extremely passionate about is dispelling the myth of what the system of, whether that be basically in the construction of race, right? The construction of sex, meaning girl, boy, black, white, gay, straight. I think that we would do better as a society if we could all understand that we are all the same, that we are all connected, that people who are less fortunate should be helped by people who are more fortunate, right? That doesn't mean that anybody's giving a handout. That just means that if somebody doesn't have the resources, if somebody has never seen anything more than what's on their block, right? And that doesn't mean just a little black girl or black child, black boy. That could mean a Caucasian person. That could mean a Latin person. That can mean any person, because this happens every day. I just believe that it's important as humans, as the human race, that we find a way to come together more and be kind to each other, lift our vibration on how we think, figure out how to just have our society be an equitable one. I mean, will that ever happen? I don't know. I just think that it's important because we're all just trying to survive, right? Whether you got $1 million in your bank account or whether you got $1 in your bank account, right? Everybody needs food. Everybody needs water. Everybody needs shelter. Everybody needs clothes, right? Every woman that has a vagina, that was born a woman with a vagina, needs period products, right? Like, these are things that you really can't live without, you know? And so I just believe, I'm a firm believer that there's enough food on this planet that nobody should be hungry, right? Our earth is, what is it, 70% water? Like, why should anybody not have access to water, right? cotton is one of the largest textiles on the planet. How is it that everybody doesn't have access to a pad? You know? And so, yeah, so I'm, you know, especially with Days for Girls, I'm just excited about all of this. And I'm excited to just look, we don't have enough money to be able to do this for everybody. We just don't, because, you know, but I want to do whatever we can. I want to put any kind of dent into the system possible for humanity, because I'm a part of it, you know?
So Beatrice, you are a, do you identify as BIPOC? Is that correct?
I identify as a fucking human. I'm a human. I'm an earthling. And I don't need anybody to, don't make me wrong. I love the color of my skin. I love my hair. I love my culture, but I also love the color of your skin, right? And I also love all cultures, because that's what makes us who we are. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to fit in a box of BIPOC human. Like, miss me with that. I'm a human. And that's enough for me. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I ask. So let's talk about your experience as a human. What you know, because I know from personal experience that starting a business is not easy. And you know, no matter how you identify, that's a hard thing to do. Yeah. And I'm curious, you know, what is the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome in founding the Honey Pot?
This is always a hard question for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because all you're ever met with is challenges. You know, I mean, seriously, there is not a day that goes by that I'm not met with a challenge as it relates to our business. Honestly, not one day goes by that I don't have to make a massive decision. And so the thing that I will say, which I think it's very important for humans that want to start a business, just like you said, it's hard no matter how you spin it. It's hard to raise money. It's hard to take something out of your brain that wasn't there before and turn that something into a physical thing. It's hard to do that. It may be less hard for a person, you know, that went to Stanford or something, right? But that person has lived a different life. They have different relationships. They for some reason, they were meant to do the shit that they're doing. And so, sure, there's been challenges. It's hard to pull something out of thin air. It's hard, like I said, to raise money. It's hard to manage a team. It's hard to make, it's hard. You want to know the hardest thing at this point?
Mm-hmm.
The hardest thing is the decision fatigue that comes with all the decisions that you have to make. Honestly,
mm-hmm.
my mm-hmm. brain hurts, you know, honestly, like I'm not even trying to be funny, man. At this point, that's actually one of the harder things for me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't want to think about what I'm going to eat and how I'm going to get my house cleaned. Right. It's like the simple things are the things that I don't want to decide right now, because I have to, my brain has to be on in a place. My brain has never had to be as much on as it is now. And that's not something that people talk about.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm honest, that's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Real shit. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Where
like you get with your family and they want to talk about what you're doing. And you're like, oh, I don't want to talk about work, man. I don't want to talk about the podcast that I did. Right. I don't want to talk about that. Like, I just want to be here with you right now. You know, but at the same time, you have to be patient and you have to be understanding, because they're only wanting to talk about it because they're proud of you. Right. I mean, you know what I'm talking,
I do. I do. I've been there. You know? And I think you're right. It is hard to pick out that one thing. And you know, it's just doing what you're doing. It's hard. Like you said, you're creating something up from scratch and you're trying to make something of it in the world. And you're not in an easy space. Let's face it. Like, you know, if you're going to start a business, doing it in like, you know, in a way that empowers women and then, you know, deals with their vaginas is like, right. Girl, it's like your grandmother gave you like showed up and was like, I got something real hard for you to do. I'm going to really push you.
Really expand your mind. But you know what? You know what, Jessica? You know what's dope about it?
What?
You become so intelligent. You sharpen, especially if you really got your head in it and you really work hard to like not be egotistical and be humble and be grateful. What happens is your emotional intelligence just gets so sharp, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Your decision-making, even though it's exhausting, your decision-making gets so sharp, you know? Like something massive can be put, as a matter of fact, something massive can be put on my table, right? And I can see it and I might be stressed out on it for a couple of days, but I'll have it figured out. Right. With not just with me, but with the team, we will have that thing figured out within days or weeks. Right. Where in the beginning, when you don't know what you don't know and you're not able to hire people that know what you don't know. Right. You have to just continue to just figure it out on your own. But it makes you better. It makes your mind really sharp and it gives you this intelligence that can't be bought or can't be taught, you know, because that's the stuff like that particular thing is the thing with is the part of it that makes me love this shit so much, because it's all the things that it's taught me that you just couldn't have learned in school.
It's like getting a PhD and yeah. You know, it's
yeah.
And, you know, the school of hard knocks, it is tough.
but I quite enjoy it because I'm grateful that my mind can be this sharp. You know, I'm grateful mm-hmm. that I can see something and be like, I would do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. In a matter of minutes, I can spat that out, right? I can come up with a business idea at this point in my life. And if I had an idea come into my head, I can map out something really dope, a really dope concept quick. That's what those challenges, that original question that you asked me, that's what that does to you. Right? So whether your challenge is being Black, having a vagina, being Latin, trying to raise money or whatever, or just being a person of color or a minority because you're a woman, or whatever the thing is, right? It makes you better. And that's what matters. That's what you keep your eye. That's the prize that you keep the eye on, is that when you go through stuff, especially when it's really hard, it just makes you sharper. It makes your skin thicker, you know? It makes your eyes be open. It makes you pay attention. It makes you be aware. And if you really do it with a lot of kindness and humility and gratefulness, it just gives you this peace that you know everything's going to be all right, because you know all the shit that you had to do to get to where you are. So literally nothing can stop you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just getting chills. You're so inspirational.
Thank you.
You should go around and do inspirational talks. Do you do that?
Maybe. I do a little bit. I do a little bit, but you know, that can be a lot though, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you have to give so much energy in order to do that. And people want that. And I want to give it. I want to give that, you know? But I'm working on a book. I'm not fully working on it yet, but the the seed is in my, is planted in my mind. So I hope to do that with writing materials. You know, because when I'm at some point, you know, all the stars align, when I'm not having to work 70 hours a week, right? I really want to spend that time enjoying this planet. I'm not in a rush to just work. I'm not a robot, you know?
Yeah. I hear you. Well, this has just been a fantastic conversation, and I could talk to you for forever, I think. And hopefully we'll get to meet someday in person soon. For those people who want to connect with you personally and learn more about the Honeypot, where can they go?
They can go to thehoneypot.co or .com. They can go to Instagram. My brand is The Honeypot Co. You can pretty much find us on every social media handle between Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. My personal IG is IMB Dixon. I think that's what it is. Let me look real quick. It's hilarious because I'm not the biggest Instagrammer, but it's IMBEADIXON. And if you want to figure out where our products are sold, what I would recommend is that you go to our website, thehoneypot.co, go to the store locator, put in your zip code, and it'll tell you everywhere close by.
Sweet. I love it. And I definitely recommend that people check it out. Products are great. And like we said earlier, The Honeypot's a partner of ours and a supporter of Days for Girls. So we really appreciate you and your partnership and the work you're doing in the world. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's just been a pleasure.
Thank you. And I always flip it. I said girls for days. I apologize. I meant days for girls.
Oh, no worries. We knew what you were talking about.
You know what I was talking about.
You weren't the first person that's done that.
You know when your mama used to say that? Did you grow up with sisters and brothers?
Oh, yeah.
She'd be calling everybody else's name. And then you get in trouble because you didn't answer. She was like, you knew what the hell I was saying. I was talking to you. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you. So you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do. Yeah. You're my fellow Southerner.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
My accents, if we stay a lot much longer, my accent's going to start coming out.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for your partnership. And thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, absolutely. The Days for Girls podcast is produced by Days for Girls International. For show notes and resources mentioned in this episode, visit daysforgirls.org/podcast. If you'd like to support the work we do on the show, leave a rating or a review wherever you listen, subscribe to the show, and share episodes on social media or with your friends. To learn more about Days for Girls and to join our global movement, please visit daysforgirls.org. Thank you for listening. See you next time.